Ramsey TV.
I'm going to talk about the spirits of God today. Spirit of God that makes its home in us and how that affects us practically. But first, I want to ask you an important question. First things first, like yes or no on the beard. I'm starting to grow back a little bit, but I'm what you would call maybe clean shaven. I don't know if I should keep it that way. Let me know what you think. Yeah, well, I had to get that out of the way. Well, and it's not, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's not like I'm subject to the opinion of the people, but I'm just curious what you think. I don't really like how I look without it, but it feels better, smooth and clean. But the spirit operating in me doesn't care. In fact, I'm going to tell you a thing or two about the body. While the Spirit of God is in you, that is rather shocking. I'm Martin Zender. You are at MZTV. The MZ stands for Martin Zender. So therefore, I have the freedom to talk about anything I want to talk about, including facial hair. Okay, now I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to spend the whole show in Romans chapter 8. Now, verse 1, nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That is us. Everybody loves this verse. Now, that's just the first part of verse 1. The second part of verse 1 says, not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. One's first reaction, who doesn't know any better, is that, well, you know, we knew there was a catch. Because people think that walking according to flesh means that you're sinning, but it doesn't. The word accord in the Greek, it just means down, like you're down with it. Right? Kind of like a colloquial phrase we have today. I'm down with that. So the flesh, even now, while the Spirit of God is in us, the flesh is at enmity to God. Even now, that's the shocker. I'm just gonna go right down to verse 10, because this is what I'm driving at. But I'm gonna go there first, then I'm gonna back up. But I want you to keep this in mind. This is the shocking verse. Romans 8:10. You need to know this before you can understand verses 1-9. Now, if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin. See, this is telling us, I mean, isn't that shocking? You don't expect to hear that. You expect to hear that if Christ is in you, the body begins to reform. The body starts on a program of self-help. The body gently yet purposely aligns with God. No, the body is dead. Now, before the Spirit of God was in us, the body was dead. We know that. This is the shock. After the Spirit of God comes in you, the body is still dead. Why? It's dead because of sin. And sin is still operating in us. Second half of that verse, yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the body is doomed. Even when the Spirit of God is in you. People are tempted to think that now that the Spirit of God is in you, you have the tools available to harness your flesh and bring it into line. This verse does away with that. If Christ is in you, and the Spirit of Christ, verse 11 says, now if the Spirit of Him who rouses Jesus from among the dead is making its home in you. See, so Christ in you equals the Spirit of Him, Spirit of God, who rouses Jesus from the dead is also making its home in you. So this Spirit, common teaching, the common belief is that you now have the energy. You now have the magic formula, the magic ability to work on your flesh. Not true. Because even with the Spirit of God in us, we are not to be disposed to the flesh. Now let's go back to verse 2. Well, I'm going to go back to 1, then 2, then I think I might follow 2 with 3. Just to be different, I'll follow 3 with 4. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Just, I would love to stop right there because everybody gets confused after that. But on we go. But nothing that follows this statement, this amazing statement that there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, nothing that follows it undoes it. You got to remember that. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. Where does this say that you're supposed to stop sinning, or that the Spirit will cause you to stop sinning? Now, the Spirit will do that, but that's not our business. It's not our business. The Spirit operates unconsciously in us. And the beautiful thing is, the Spirit of God is power. It is powerful. So our disposition, that is what we're down with, our disposition is pretty much reveling in the fact that the Spirit of God makes its home in us. And that delivers us from the law of sin and death that is still operating in our members. It delivers us from attention, from care, from worry. For the Spirit's law, this is why this is happening. Verse 2, getting down to the nuts and bolts. Now here's the engine. For the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. How so? The law of sin and death will condemn you. The law of sin and death reeks condemnation, screams condemnation. But nothing is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees us from being enmeshed or worried about or concerned with the law of sin and death. We no longer have to be concerned with the law of sin and death. Abbot Martin, how could it improve? I remind you of verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead. It's still dead. The body's going into death. Your body's decomposing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to tell you that. You're still mortal. Sorry again. So all this is BS, this mortality, it's BS. The law of sin and death, it's BS. It's a loser. It's stupid. It's dinosaurish. It's primitive. It's a CF. So you don't need to, it's just like, that's how it is. That's how it is. But the thing is that we're no longer occupied with that. So we're freed even now from the law of sin and death. I've said this many times. How can you be free of something that doesn't exist? So the law of sin and death is still operating in us. Verse 10 proves that. If Christ is in you, the body is dead. So that's how it is. It sucks. It's major suckage. I no longer worry about it. I can't tell you how liberating that is. And I can't tell you how many people try to pull me back into deliberations or excitations or ruminations or determinations concerning flesh and the law of sin and death. Screw that stuff. I'm over. I'm done with that. But Martin Zender, you still do it. Yeah, but I'm not down with it, man. I'm down with the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's my thing now. That's the thing I occupy myself with. And it makes for a nice life. Makes for a, really, you don't have to worry about this other stuff. Oh, Christians hate that you don't worry. Christians hate anybody that's no longer worried about their body of death and their sin. But this is the whole liberation of Romans. Verse 3, for what was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh, there's that nasty flesh again. Did God, see, God did something that you couldn't do and that you can't do. sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. Woohoo! It's condemned. So even while it's screaming for attention, even while it threatens to drag you down, we're going to drag you down into a battle, boy. We're going to drag you down into a war. I say, no, you're not. Screw you. Because I'm freed from that. And you see, when you stop paying attention to it, it gets small, it gets tiny. It yells, it screams. It's like, hey, we're down here. Yeah, but I'm up here. Yeah, but we're down here. Yeah, but I'm up here. But screw you. Screw you. Because you're screwed already. Body of sin. Law of sin and death. But when people put the Ten Commandments on the wall in these churches, they're celebrating the law of sin and death. These people aren't free. They're not free via the law of life in Christ Jesus. No, they're staring at the stone tablets. And sin is actually winning against these people. It's winning. You don't measure the spirit of life within you by how your behavioral graph looks. That's not how you measure it. You measure it by how much you're not worried about it. That guy's not even worried about his sin. And an astute person would say, well, that guy, that proves that he's reveling in the law of life in Christ Jesus. How do you say that? Well, because the law of life in Christ Jesus has freed him from the law of sin and death. He's no longer tied to it. It's operating in him, but he's not tied to it anymore. Verse 4, that the just requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us. The just requirements? What does that mean? Well, the number one law was, you know, love your associate as yourself, love God. The requirements of the law will be fulfilled in us. I'm going to tell you why in a second, tell you how in a second. But remember this, it's not because of law, because the nations have no law. But the requirements of the law, what the law wanted to produce, for example, love. The law wants to produce love, but the law can't produce love because what was impossible to the law in which it was infirm through the flesh, we're infirm through the flesh. That's why. Did God? God did something. You know that? God did something. What did he do? He sent his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh. So he took on sin's flesh and he crucified it. He said, we're done with this. We're done with this. Now, our body of sin has yet to be nullified. Our revelations are way ahead of our flesh, of our sin. But we're to live in the revelation, not in the nagging little complaints, pipsqueaks of our flesh. Verse 5, for those who are in accord with flesh, again, what do you think of when you hear the phrase in accord with flesh? Well, most people think that you're on a sin program, either a sin program to correct this body of sin, to discipline this body of sin, or you're out trying to sin your way into infamy. But that's not the case. Those who are in an accord with flesh are disposed to that which is of flesh. Again, disposed, down, they're down with it. They're disposed, they're apt to pay more attention to whatever is happening with the flesh, either good or bad. I mean, if the Spirit of God is in you, the body is dead, yes. But the Spirit of God produces fruit. Hey, here we go. The fruit of the Spirit, nine fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. These things will be produced in someone who has the Spirit of God in them. But it's on autopilot. The Spirit of God is on autopilot. It is operating in you, just like you're breathing. Are you conscious of your breathing? No. Are you conscious of your heartbeat? No. Can you control your breathing? Well, to a certain extent. But it keeps going on when you're sleeping. Your heart keeps going on when you're sleeping. Likewise, the Spirit of God that makes its home in you. It keeps going. It's producing fruit while you are ignoring this other operation, the operation, the law of sin and death. So those who are in accord with flesh, here's the definition. The definition is in the very verse, are disposed to that which is of the flesh, yet those who are in accord with spirit to that which is of the spirit. So those in accord with the spirit are disposed to the things of the spirit. It's like, hey, spirit of God is operating in me. Right there. That is being disposed to the spirit. Acknowledging that it's there, acknowledging that it's on autopilot, acknowledging that it's working, saying, woohoo! Yeah, saying, woohoo! In acknowledgement that this thing is going on, that this beautiful power is inside of you. The Spirit of God, it's inside of you. So, that's what I'm in accord with. That's where my disposition is. I want the same thing for you. For the disposition of the flesh, now we're talking about what the flesh is disposed to. Not what you're disposed to, what your flesh is disposed to. You want to work on your flesh? You want to worry about your flesh? Why? Because the flesh is disposed to death. Verse 6, Romans 8, for the disposition of the flesh is death. What a sickly occupation, yet that's what it does all day. Screw you. I'm walking away from that mess. I'm walking away from that battle. It's not even a battle for me. Let flesh battle with death. Ooh, what a sickly pair. Flesh and death. Who wants to mess with that crap? It's like a disease. It's an infection. What do you do when there's a pile of dog poop or bacteria or whatever? You just like, oh, you turn away from it. So the body, the law of sin and death, just turn away from it. It's gross. It's sick. It's, okay, this is a gross example. I just thought of it. If your dog poops in the yard, to tend to flesh and death, it's almost like lining up the dog poop. It's like going down on your hands and knees, and your dog's looking at you like, what the heck are you doing? Are you crazy? What are you doing? You're lining up my poop? Yeah, I'm lining up your poop. I'm trying to make the poop into pleasant shapes. Maybe I'll make some artwork out of it, and you're down there on your hands and knees, and your dog's going, this guy's crazy. He's not in accord with his spirit. He's in accord with the law of sin and death and dog poop. Don't do that. That's the disposition of the flesh. Yet the disposition of the spirit is life and peace. The disposition of the spirit is life and peace. What sounds better to you? Life and peace or flesh and death? Life and peace, flesh and death. Ice cream sundae, dog poop. Ice cream sundae, dog poop. Because the disposition of the flesh, verse 7, is enmity to God. There's a third thing that it does. Disposition of the flesh is death, and it's also enmity to God. What are you doing down there, flesh? I'm in enmity with God. Well, you go ahead and do that. But I am of the Spirit, and I am not at enmity with God. I love God. Why do you love God so much? Because of what he did, sent his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh, and concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. This is such good news. The disposition of the Spirit is life and peace. That's all you have to think about now, life and peace. Is that so hard? No, it's easy. It's free. It's floating. It's like the wind. It's like your spirit, your thoughts are a kite flying in the sky. Let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. No, let's go fly a kite. Mary Poppins, great movie. Love Mary Poppins. Comes down from that cloud with her umbrella, changes everybody, then goes back. Spirit of God is like Mary Poppins in us. Comes down here, does its thing, kicks Mr. Banks in the ass. Mr. Banks being an analogy of flesh and death. Sorry, Mr. Banks. Well, I'm on a roll, but I'm at 19 minutes. It's 5:45 in the morning, Tuesday morning, and I have to think about getting this thing saved so you get it at 8 o'clock. Where should I start? Stop. I don't want to stop. Okay, I'll go down to verse 10. So that's really good news right there. Verse 7, the disposition of the flesh is enmity to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither is it able. It's not subject to the law of God, neither is it able, so turn from it. Turn from it. Forget about it. 8. Now those who are in flesh are not able to please God. Are you getting a common theme here? Sin and death, not able to please God. Sin and death, dog poop. Spirit of God making its home in you, disposed to that thing, flying up in the sky with a kite, with Mary Poppins, eating an ice cream sundae. That's where we're supposed to be. Now, and we're going to be literally there someday soon. Verse 9, yet you are not in flesh. I'm not. Paul says, let me finish, Sender. You're not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that God's spirit is making its home in you. Well, that's great news because it is making its home in me. Right. Now, if anyone has not Christ's spirit, this one is not his. Well, we don't need to worry about that verse because we do have Christ's spirit. Verse 10, where I started. Now, if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin. Again, that's not going to change. That's the shocking thing. Yet the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What do you mean the Spirit is life because of righteousness? Well, what Paul means by that is the righteousness of God is manifest, Romans 3:21. The faith of Christ is the righteousness that was manifested on the cross. That is the righteousness that we tap into. We suck the nectar from the righteousness of Christ given to us by God. That's our thing. That's what we're down with. And I'm telling you, it's going to change the way you live.